Lord Jesus, we just lift you up and we praise your name. We worship you. We thank you for coming down off your throne and giving your life as a ransom for many. Son of God, we worship you, and we're so thankful for the good things you give us in our life. And you satisfy the desire of every living thing. And truly you do that for us, Lord. And open our eyes to see you daily, to see you in everything we do, to see your love, to see your goodness. Draw us to just fix our eyes on you and to worship you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. May anyone listening, just let them have a fresh feeling of you and only you, and be energized by your presence, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Well, welcome to Knowing Jesus. This is Michael Ryan. In the upper right-hand corner, there's an iTunes link, and you can just click on that to get these podcasts, and you can subscribe, I guess is the way to say it. You can also find me on iTunes on Michael Ryan's Booze. So on any iDevice, you could just go put Michael Ryan, and if you go to iTunes, just go to search and put Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and put Ryan, R-Y-A-N, apostrophe S, Michael Ryan's Booze, B-O-O-S. They call these podcasts Booze. And you should be able to pull up all the podcasts right there. So there you go. You know, Jesus Christ is the main message of Christianity, friends. He is the centerpiece and all the ornaments around. We must remember that Jesus Christ has first place in everything. He's before all things spiritual, all things in your life, all good things, everything. And we've got to lift him up as so. And that's where we start to receive the presence, receive his strength, receive his peace. Our circumstances don't change. The trouble in our world doesn't change. Our imperfections don't change. Our sin nature doesn't change. But he changes us down inside. Our soul changes. And he grows us and he strengthens us and he gives us a peace. But it comes from fixing our eyes on him through worship, which can come through reading the word and just reading the word and seeing Jesus. And I'll get further into that later on. Praising him. I love to just praise the Lord. And sometimes I'm praising him and I have to ask the Lord to let my heart catch up to my mouth, because, you know, my feelings sometimes, you know, our feelings don't always, they're all over the place. You can't wait for your feelings to be right before you praise the Lord and enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's how you enter his gates, through just thanking him and praising him. And that's when he shows up. The Lord dwells in the worship of his people. So I encourage you, worship the Lord, worship him, worship Jesus Christ. You know, when we take our eyes off Jesus, our shepherd, even for good things, you know, we increase our chances of getting lost. We increase our chances of getting led astray. Do not be moved from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This message is going to give one of infinite reasons to just worship your Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 14, I believe. And, yeah, we're going to stop at 14. And essentially, Hebrews is a commentary on the Mosaic Law. I mean, if we want to keep it simple. And pretty much it's summing up and explaining it was a shadow of Christ. And going back to what I mentioned about seeing Jesus in the Old Testament, we want to see Jesus in the Scriptures. I can't urge you anymore, friends. When you open up the Scriptures, look for Jesus Christ. Look for Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 5:39, you search the Scriptures thinking that in them you have eternal life, but it's these that testify of me. And if we believe that the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit, Jesus says further revelation, it says, he says the Holy Spirit testifies of me. So when we look at Scripture, you know, and I'll just share with you, when I look at Psalms, I'm every time he's saying the Lord and God, I'm writing Jesus in there. It's Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus makes me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus leads me beside still waters. That's how I read the Psalms, and it ministers life. And I encourage you, when you look at the Old Testament scriptures, when you read them, see Jesus Christ, please. I mean, he is our Lord. If he's before all things, we've got to put him before all things. Amen. So what we're going to read is good. It's good because it's going to give us an understanding of how Jesus was. He wasn't an afterthought. Salvation, him being the Lamb of God, it wasn't something that God just said, you know what, I'm getting sick of this whole sacrificial system and the Old Testament, I'm just going to send Jesus. He was always what was going to happen. And he is the acceptable sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. So let's get right into it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So let's just have a little bit of context. We know from the Mosaic Law that year after year, daily, often, sacrifices were offered on account of sins. And there was no peace. I mean, if you committed a sin, you felt, until I get this right, until I make a sacrifice, I'm in judgment with God. And so the sacrifice you made, it doesn't really take away the consciousness of sins, because we know that if we sin again, we're going to have to be in the same place. It's just this system of, you know, we're always needing to have something to make up for what we did. The peace is not, you know, there's no peace in that. Well, then why did the Lord even do that in the first place? Well, the Lord did it because he's the Lord, and he did it in his wisdom. Amen. I mean, I think the Lord, and I'm not going to try to speak for him, but from one thing, from just observing the ministry of Jesus Christ, is he reveals himself little by little, progress by progress. I mean, if Adam ate the apple and all of a sudden Jesus showed up on the scene, what would that have looked like? We need to come to a point where we see who we are and who he is. And I think the law helped people to understand their condition, that they are going to continually offer sacrifices, continually try to cleanse themselves. There's a problem deep down inside, and we can be ministered to that. You and I have a problem. You have a sickness in you, and it's called sin. It's your number one problem. And it's not just dirty thoughts. It's not just shameful actions. It's just this inclination to make your life work apart from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just this tendency we have to just go on about our life as if God doesn't even exist. You and I have that tendency, and it's something that people have been struggling with for thousands of years, and the law is there to expose that. The law is meant to be a tutor to Christ. So from reading this passage, we can see, you know, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to fully take away sins. So here's the bottom line, friends. The law doesn't work. Trying to follow God's rules by your best intentions doesn't work. Let this sink in. Okay, let it sink in. Your best behavior will still leave you on bad terms with God, apart from Jesus Christ. So please don't ever think that your good deeds or anything that you do that is notable or amazing is what God's interested in. It says in Isaiah, good deeds are like filthy rags. You know, if you were a believer in Jesus Christ, it's not your goodness, it's not your best intentions that makes God delight in you. It's the Spirit of Christ that makes God delight in you. And when you mess up, when you aren't living the way you ought to be living, that's not something that we mourn about, because we were never accepted based on our behavior in the first place. It's by Him. So we can just trust in Jesus Christ to move past our weaknesses and to just be excited about His grace. We can't ever take away guilt, you know, with our good deeds. It's always going back to the cross. You know, it's not anything to do with what we accomplish or what we don't accomplish. Has everything to do with looking upon the cross and what was done for us. Good people don't go to heaven. Heaven is not for decent people either. Do you understand? Good people don't go to heaven. Heaven is not for decent people. Jesus, and only Jesus, is your access to heaven. Not only in the future, but right now. Jesus, and only Jesus, is your access to God's peace. Not only in the future, but right now. Jesus, and only Jesus, your access to God's power. Not only in the future, but right now. Right now. Leave your best intentions aside. Your best intentions to be holy, your best intentions to be pure, leave them aside. Leave your problems, your worries, your struggles, your weaknesses, your desires, your routine, your religion, your life. Put it aside and look to Jesus. He saves. He justifies. He makes all things new. He holds everything together. So far, we can see from the scripture we just read that it's insufficient to live a life that's just based off works and in trying to be justified through them. And the scripture continues to introduce our Messiah. Therefore, when He comes into the world, Jesus, He says, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." They're quoting Old Testament. "In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come in the scroll of the book it is written to me, to do your will, O God.'" So he's quoting Old Testament scripture. Okay, scripture interprets scripture the best. So listen closely to how Hebrews is going to interpret what we just read. "After saying above, 'Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law,' then He said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Listen, friends. Jesus is our new covenant. The old covenant is gone. What's the old covenant? What does it have to do with your life? The old system is, I am trying to be pleasing to God. I want to meet God's expectations. Let me just stop you right there and say, that is a dead end. That's a dead end. Don't try to meet God's expectations. Instead, trust in this. Trust in the fact that Jesus has already met them for you, and we just worship and just enjoy the benefits, the riches, the peace, the joy, the patience, the kindness, the fruit, all of it that comes from just being in His arms. That is our place, and it's a good place, amen? It's a good place rather than trying to extend ourselves to be satisfying God's holy expectations. Sacrifices and burnt offerings, doing things in our own name and our own strength, they were never God's desire. His desire from the beginning was for Jesus to take care of your sin problem, to take care of your weaknesses. And Jesus is the one that takes away your guilty conscience. If you have a guilty conscience right now, you know, if you struggle with that, if you're somebody who tends to just feel like, you carry your burdens on you and you feel like maybe you can be doing more or you have things from the past come and haunt you, the way you get out of that is not by being a better person. It's by simply looking up and worshiping Jesus and praising Him for what He's already done in you. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. It's God's will that Jesus be the savior of your life. Of your life. It's God's will that he be your savior. Listen again. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. You have been sanctified no matter how you feel. No matter how you feel, you have been sanctified if you have trusted Jesus Christ. We don't mourn our weaknesses anymore. Jesus has accepted and washed them forever. It doesn't burden me to repeat the same thing over because it needs to be said. This walk is Jesus Christ, beginning, middle, and end. Beginning, middle, and end. It's him. It says, you know, if you think that your weaknesses are gonna somehow disqualify you from enjoying this abundant life, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. You see, the scripture already acknowledges that you are weak. The problem isn't the fact that we're weak. The problem is that we don't accept that we're weak and he's strong. We want to be strong too. But we're strong in the Lord, and that's far better. Far better. You don't have to sit with the guilt, the unworthiness. You've been cleared and sanctified from the penalty of sin once and for all. Can just let that, just wrap that around your mind. You have been freed and declared blameless forever. Who could do that? Who could do that? Isn't Jesus worthy of your worship every day, all day? Doesn't he deserve your adoration all day long for the rest of your eternity for doing that for you? For cleansing you. I mean, amen. He's a good God. Let's finish up. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he's perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You know, we always say, is anyone perfect? You know, no one's perfect. That's what we say. Well, my question is, anyone perfect? Yeah, you are. In Christ Jesus, you are perfect. That's his work. He made you perfect. I mean, that should just blow your mind right there. We are perfect in Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone tell you different. You are perfect in him. Blameless. Well, I don't feel perfect, Mike. Well, it's not about your feelings. It's about Jesus and what he did for you. And that's where the faith comes in. That's where the worship comes in. You've been perfected forever. So I would encourage you to worship him forever. Amen. I would encourage you to worship Jesus Christ forever, starting now, starting today. Just go worship him. So I just hope I can convey the message to you, nothing else, that he is worthy of all of us, our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. Even if all that adds up to a 2% because we're so low, give him that. Give him your 2% if that's your best, and he will show up, and he will comfort you, and he will continue to just bless you. I mean, he's already perfected us. If he can perfect us, can't he meet you where you're at now? Amen? So, Lord, I pray that Lord, we would just be reminded and understood that this whole walk is about you and you alone, and to not be distracted by anything else except Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ glorified. Lord, just help us to remember that you died on the cross for us and that you are our perfect sacrifice that took away our sins. And now we live blameless before you, and you live in us, and you will be our strength to carry us through, and that we will just fix our eyes on you, God. Just draw us to that. Open our eyes to see that. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you. Let our day start with worshiping you. Let that be our breakfast, our lunch, our dinner, our snack. Amen. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. God bless you all.